We might turn, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus, chapter 25. Just like to give a word of welcome this morning on behalf of a greeting, from behalf of my wife and myself to you folks here at Charlottetown. Everybody seems to be okay, and physically at least, in the McGregor clan. The book of Exodus, chapter 25. I would like for us to look at verse 23. Maybe we should look at verse 22 to begin our reading. And there, that is before the mercy seat, which if you look at our place up here, this is the mercy seat here. This is supposed to be right across, but I wanted you to see the mercy seat. Before the mercy seat, the Lord would commune with the people of Israel through the priests. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of 1 hand breadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. The word showbread, by the way, is bread of faces, before my face continually. A table. There was to be a table there, and there was to be 12 loaves of bread upon the table. And we think of table, a table. It is a place of family. And I know at our house, when I was little, there were more at the table than there were chairs. We had a big bench behind the table that 4 or 5 of us sat at, and then the rest for 10 of us that were there. But it was a place of family. Mom and Dad were there, we were there, and many times everyone would be in their place, and sometimes there'd be visitors. It's interesting that the Lord, he dealt with the nation of Israel, and they were represented in a table with 12 loaves, and the Bible says that the church also comes to a table. And that table is to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, for the table represents Jesus Christ. And we come to him, and we gather to him. And that is a glorious place. It is a place of family. And by the way, the Bible says when we receive Christ, that we have the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. So it is a place of food and family, a place of food. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door of his church oft times and knocks. Says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Speaking of a table, we read in Psalm 23 that the Lord has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord, and I being a sheep, the Lord provides for me green pasture and still waters, a place for food and a place of fellowship. He with me, and even here on the island where they try to break us of this, for, I guess for our health's sake, but still, the table is a place of fellowship. Place of togetherness. We are gathered, and so it is a gathering place. It is a place of security. Often if we are in the home and the home is together, then it is a wonderful place of security. In the presence of mine enemies, I am secure. I'm okay, for I am in the place of security. And, you know, my friends, when I think of being right with God and being in the presence of God, and the Bible says that if we trust the Lord, that we have this kind of fellowship, then we are most secure indeed. It is a wonderful thing to know the Lord. Jesus Christ is called the bread from heaven. He is called the true bread. I am the true bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you can feed your soul on. He, by the way, does not take and become physical bread, but it speaks of the feeding of the soul. Just as the body needs to be fed, so does the soul, and so does the spirit. It is the Lord Jesus Christ in whom we feed. And I think of a day coming, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we shall gather to our Lord Jesus Christ. For now, the church gathers to remember him in the breaking of bread, for the bread represents his body. But in that place, it will be such wondrous fellowship and joy at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we shall be with him. And it'll be a great celebration. And I pray that you'll be there. We talked last time about the table, about the instruments, the furniture, the tabernacle. We're just dealing in this chapter with three things. And we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, the most important piece of furniture that was where the Lord met with his people. But also we find that those, there is this bread, the table of showbread, and then there is the lampstand. I don't know how much we'll cover today, but we will cover some of this. Once again, we find that the table was made of shittim wood, acacia wood. And this wood is the most incorruptible of woods. They say that it is more incorruptible than is oak, which is one of our densest woods, and it is more dense. And it speaks of the incorruptibility of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The Lord Jesus Christ, although he died, he rose again the third day. He did not see corruption. He is the incorruptible one. He is the righteous man. And when we think of wood over against gold, we are thinking of God over against man. Really, there was one, wasn't there? There was one God-man. The table was the table. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is a union of God and man, incorruptible and righteous man, different than any other man. Precious, more precious than any other man, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the perfect one. This is my beloved Son, the Lord said, in whom I am well pleased. And we find that he was pure gold, the perfect man, and he was pure gold, the Lord from heaven, the Bible says, the Lord from heaven. He is Jehovah God, the Lord from heaven. And it's interesting that God on one hand, and I've noticed this about the whole tabernacle, it pictures Christ, and I believe that God is self-sufficient. And yet every part of this furniture points not only to Christ, but to the fact that Christ would have fellowship with man. For example, you have the idea of bread on a table, and the priests were to come every 7 days, change the bread, and eat the old bread, so to speak. So we see that this is something the Lord wants, is fellowship with you. And I pray that your heart is open to this. The Lord Jesus Christ is great. And by the way, if he had not by his grace come down to us, came to us, there wouldn't be no way that we could ever know him. That's the idea, too, of the ark within the veil. The Lord came down and dwelt among his people. The Lord Jesus came down to this earth. And the Holy Spirit came down, and the Bible says, glorified Christ. So we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, he is the one who makes the first step. But have you responded? It's interesting that this table as well, that it has crowns, two crowns, the Bible says, as we look at the table here in our passage. It says in verse 24, make thereto a crown of gold round about, and thou shalt make unto it a border of a handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border that is round about. So, by the way, we wonder why would there be crowns? It was a practical reason and a wonderful spiritual lesson. That is, so the loaves don't fall off the table. And it speaks of the eternal security of the believer. When the Lord Jesus is with us, he doesn't leave us. And when we become the children of God and at his family table, then we're not going to be lost. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We are, as it were, in his hand. A wonderful salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we wanted to speak of Christ, which I think every part of it does, he is our security. He is our strong and mighty tower. A man can flee to that tower and be safe. And he is the crowned one, crowned with glory and honor. He came as the king in the book of Matthew. And we see the three wise men come and bow and worship him, even as a baby. And he is worthy of our crowns as the 24 elders, through their crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is one that is crowned with glory and honor, the crowned one. Honor and majesty are his. The right of kings is his. The right to reign is his. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the staves and rings, and the staves were simply long rods of wood that were coated with gold, once again, he went with them. He would never leave them. He was always with the people. There on the ground was the clay, the wilderness, and yet the presence was always there. And they carried the table about through these staves, put through rings in the table. The service of the table, the various things that it took, I suppose, to prepare the bread and to cover the bread, we're told. In verse 22, thou shalt make the dishes thereof, the spoons, the covers, and the bowls thereof to cover withal. Of pure gold shall thou make them. It's a wondrous thing that he doeth all things well. He doeth all things well. His is a perfect work. And the service off his table is a perfect service. Everything he does is gold. Everything he does is perfect because he is the perfect one. My friends, when I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is one that has gathered us to himself. It is a glorious one that he is. And so the bread, the Bible says we are one loaf today, the believers. The believers are represented by one loaf, but our Lord Jesus Christ is also presented by the loaf, his body that was broken for us. So we have a place of food and fellowship, a gathering place, a place of security, a place of family in Jesus Christ, protection, eternal security, the one that is full of honor and majesty. I'd like us quickly to look at the candlestick. We'll read in verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch. Three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. There shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All of it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may be given light over against it. They may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, and all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. And once again, I believe up here you can see a larger presentation of the candlestick over there, or the lampstand, and over here as well, the lampstand. Jesus Christ is called the true light. He is the true light. The true light that came down from heaven. And in heaven, his glory shone, the glory that he shared with the Father from all time. And he is above the brightness of the sun. When I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are shown a picture of this. I believe it's in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, either 17 or 19, the first part of the chapter, where the Lord Jesus Christ is shown in his glory. He is changed, and he is as the brightness of the sun. We see him in his second coming in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, as the brightness above the brightness of the sun. We see that he appears to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he appears there physically, so to speak, and it is he is above the brightness of the sun. Light is a wondrous thing, and he is a true light. And the Bible says that in the New Jerusalem, the light will not be provided by the sun and the moon. They shall simply depart with the rest of the world, earth. The light there will be the light of the Lamb of God will brighten that place. Wondrous thing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no need of the sun. He is the true light. I'd just like for us to look for a moment at the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, talking of Jesus Christ, who is the light. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The wonderful gospel of Christ is called the light. The fact that he died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again, the third day, that is the wonderful light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is a sad thing if that is hid to you. It was the greatest light. It was exactly as Charles Wesley had said, the dungeon filled with light the night that I was saved. Not that the room was beaming with light as in the day of Paul, but my soul was filled with light the night that I was saved. The glorious light. What a wonderful thing it is for those who are damned and lost and on the road to hell to suddenly realize that because of Jesus Christ that we are given life if we would take it. And I have known that wonderful light. In verse 5 of the same chapter we read, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the creation day, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing it is to know him. And to know the great light of Jesus Christ in your life. I pray that you do. I pray that you do. The Bible says this, it is a changing. The light changes things, and there is growth by light. Notice verse 18 of the preceding chapter, chapter 3. The Bible says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at the brightness, and if you want a definition of the word glory, look at the first three letters. The glow of the Lord, the glow of his life, his perfect life. Then we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We are changed as believers. There is certainly a great change when we are saved and we come into the light of the gospel. But then as we proceed in our lives to look at Jesus Christ in all of the scripture, then we are changed from glory to glory by this wonderful light. He was the light of all ages. He created the light, commanding the light to come out of darkness. He is the light of salvation, and he is the light for the believer. Just turn back a little bit to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Chapter 16. Sorry. Notice verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. We hear a lot today about praying to the Holy Spirit, of worshiping the Holy Spirit, but really, he does not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. And again, I put the emphasis on that word simply to speaking of the candlestick. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore saith I, that he, the Holy Spirit, shall take of mine and shall show it to you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. To show us more of Jesus Christ. If the candlestick speaks of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that there is a sense in which it does, it glorifies Jesus Christ. He teaches the believers and gives us light. It's a theological word rather than a necessarily a scriptural word. But there is the idea of illumination, giving light. And that speaks of our learning the Holy Scripture. We are illuminated to the knowledge of God that is in Christ Jesus for believers. So there is the light of the gospel for the lost. And then there is the light of Jesus Christ that is provided for the saved, that they may grow. And that's a wonderful truth when we look at this candlestick. The Bible says it was pure gold. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God. The glory of the Father. All glorious. Beaten work. Imagine who was suffering for us upon the cross of Calvary. But he said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men to me. It is as a light, the cross, that place of terrible darkness. But it is a drawing light. And Jesus Christ, crucified, is a drawing light. The almond tree was the first tree to bloom in the spring. And the picture given in the lamp here is that of resurrection. It was considered to be of resurrection. We might remember the story of Aaron's rod. And there was a time of rebellion. He and the other and representatives of the other tribes placed almond rods, in the just bare rods, into the ark of the covenant. The next day they checked them out, and here had an Aaron's rod budded, blossomed and bore fruit. And so you have here in the scripture a picture of the resurrection, the one that was dead but is the ever-living one. He was dead, yes, Jesus Christ, but he rose again, and he is a wonderful living Savior. When I think of him as well, I think of the vine and the branches. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us as believers. And there is that abiding, the branches abiding in the vine. And although the picture is of an almond tree, not a vine, in the tabernacle, still I believe the idea is there. Abide in me, and I in thee. You shall bring forth fruit, you shall bring forth much fruit, and your fruit shall remain, that your joy may be full. A place of joy is a place of light and growth. And that is when Christ is in us. It speaks of the light ascending in our passage. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ glowed for God. He brought glory to God. But he also shone the glory of God to those around. Light emanating, going outward, not only upward. All around, all before him is light. And once again we see the service again is pure gold. Everything that the Lord does where we are involved, it is pure gold. And we are reminded once again, look that they'll make them after their pattern. You know, the Bible speaks of one called Antichrist. It means that he was a copy and a poor copy. Jesus Christ is the pure thing. And so let us honor his name. He is the light. He is the bread. I would say to you this morning, he is everything that your soul needs. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him today and have that life that is in him alone. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that he is the bread. We thank thee, Father, that he is, as it were, the table. Oh, the security that we enjoy and the light. How wondrous to know of thy gospel. How glorious to know thee, O Father, in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may say, I know God in Jesus Christ. Father, it is indeed a wonderful thing. We thank thee for his resurrection. We thank thee, Father, for the Holy Spirit that shows forth the Lord Jesus Christ to us and teaches us. This is a wondrous thing you have done for us. But we know, Lord, that not everyone in the world has yet had that light break through to them. There are still those that starve rather than come to Christ. Oh, Lord, we pray that you might break through the darkness. We pray that you would save. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless his word.